in the movie in your mind, blank black screen. And suddenly the date appears, 630 BC. And the black screen opens to an aerial shot of the city of Jerusalem, and you can see in the middle of the city the temple, and next to it the palace, and just to the north the new quarter of the city, and around that the city wall with a little hole in it called the Fish Gate, and outside the city wall the hills that surround Jerusalem. And the stones on the hill are trembling. And you can hear in the distance the sound of men marching in formation, and the sound of the armies is getting closer. There's a quick cut away from that scene inside the palace, and a man in the palace is furiously scribbling on a scroll, and he's dressed in a fine robe, and you identify him as Zephaniah, the prophet of the Lord. And the camera zooms out from Zephaniah, out the front doors of the palace, and you see in the city streets where it is not quiet in those city streets. There is men in one corner praising an idol, and on the other side of the street, a wealthy merchant bribing a judge. And on the other side, up on the stairs of the temple, a young man kicks a beggar, and he tumbles down the stone steps, and the young man looks over his shoulder to see what the priest will say, and he shrugs. And he says the first words of our movie, "The Lord will do nothing, either good or bad." And it seems like God doesn't care. And at that moment, the palace doors burst open and Zephaniah runs into the street holding a scroll above his head. "The word of the Lord," he says. And as he unrolls his scroll to read what he has heard from God himself, two groups appear in the audience. There's the proud and the remnant. And the camera focuses in on the proud, those who worship false gods and who oppress people in the city. And the camera zeroes in on their foreheads as they wrinkle up while they hear Zephaniah's prophecy, "Woe to the city of oppressors, for the day of the Lord is near. And on that day, a cry will go up from the Fish Gate, wailing in the new quarter. I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad." And the sound of the marching gets a little closer. "I have decided to assemble the nations and to pour out my wrath on them." And the sound of the marching gets closer. And then the camera pans over to the other group of people, the remnant, the people who seek the Lord. And it zeroes in. You can recognize these people by their hands. They're bruised and tired and hanging limp at their side. And it looks like these people too might think the Lord doesn't care. Zephaniah reads, gather together, O shameful nation, before the appointed time arrives. For this land will belong to the remnant of the house of Judah. The Lord will care for them, and no one will make them afraid." And the camera shoots up. So you see an aerial shot of Jerusalem once more, and it zooms across a timeline 60 years into the future. And it opens again with an aerial shot of Jerusalem, but now the armies from the hills have come and gone, and so the city is just a smoldering pile. And the smoke rises up around the bodies of the arrogant and the proud. And the voiceover comes in, "When it seems like God doesn't care, but God says he does, which one is true?" And you can see to the east of the city, people marching away behind the armies, and you can recognize the people by their hands. They're still tired, still bruised, and still hanging limp at their sides. And these people are not happy in that moment, but they're hopeful because they have been spared from the destruction. And because they have God's promise that they will come back and live in this land someday. And because they have the words of Zephaniah ringing in their ear. The words that went like this: "Sing, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm." And on that day, they will say in Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp." On that day, they will say, "The Lord, your God, is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So sing, daughter of Zion." And so this marching, hopeful remnant sings the song that their fathers taught them. And the Hebrew music starts up. "O Lord our God, many are the wonders you have done." Fade to black. And a new date appears on the screen, 33 AD. And again, the scene opens with an aerial shot of Jerusalem, and you can see the temple and the palace and the city wall, but it's all been rebuilt now. And you can see outside the city wall on those hills, Roman soldiers preparing for an execution. And the camera cuts quickly to a close-up where the whole right side of the screen is filled with the dignified face of a Roman governor. And the whole left side of the screen is filled with the blood-streaked face of a rabbi from Nazareth. And the governor says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus replies, "Yes, it is as you say." And you're remembering now that after 600 years, the thing Zephaniah promised is coming true. The King of Israel is with you. The Lord your God is with you. But the camera zooms out from that scene into the courtyard of the temple, and you see, or the palace, and you see a mob there, and you can make out two distinct kinds of people in this mob. There are the proud and the terrified. And the screen does a little wobbly thing that indicates we're going into a flashback, and you see Jesus loving the terrified. He is healing their limp hands. He's encouraging their terrified hearts by telling them the good news of the gospel. Jesus is quoting to them, "The Lord your God is with you, and he is mighty to save. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." But the flashback has to end because you're hearing the echoes from the mob. The proud people are shouting for the death of their king. They are crying out for the crucifixion of their God. And it seems like the Lord doesn't care. And there's a quick cut again to Jesus buckling under the weight of the cross on the way out of the city. And there's a cut again to Jesus being pinned up to the cross outside the city underneath a sign that says, "The King of the Jews." And there's a shot of the sky going black and Jesus dying with a shout, and the whole screen goes black, and it seems like Jesus or God doesn't care. And the words of Zephaniah scroll across the bottom of the screen: "Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has taken away your punishment and given it to another." And so this King of Israel is mighty to save because he is weak to die. And the screen goes black again. And the voiceover comes once more with the same line, when it seems like God doesn't care, but he says he does. Which one is true? And suddenly on the black screen, there's a crescent of white. And the light is growing and growing until it's a full circle, beaming with light. And suddenly, the king of Israel steps out of the darkness into the light. The king of Israel is back from the dead. And he speaks to you with the voice of a God. He says, "The king of Israel is with you. I have turned back your enemy. Do not let your hands hang limp, for the Lord your God is with you again." And you see Jesus step out of the grave and be reunited with his disciples, and his face is streaked again, but not with blood, with tears of joy, because he is overjoyed to see his people again, and they are crying and they're hugging. And Jesus says to them, "Be glad. Rejoice with all your heart, daughter of Jerusalem. Sing, daughter of Zion." And so those disciples cling to their king and they sing the song their fathers taught them as the music goes. O Lord our God, many are the wonders you have done. Fade to black. And another date blazes on the screen. October 14, 2018. And the screen opens to a live shot of Amazing Grace Lutheran Church in Panama City, Florida. And it's quiet there. Even though it's Sunday morning, it's quiet, and Pastor Burgess is not preaching, and the congregation is not singing, and the musicians are not playing. Because this is what Amazing Grace Lutheran Church in Panama City, Florida looks like. Hurricane Michael has splintered it as if it were made from toothpicks, and it seems like the Lord does not care. And a mile north of there, there's people running in and out of a small business, looters who are making off with people's livelihoods, and it seems like the Lord does not care. And the camera zooms out so you see the whole nation, and it zooms 1,000 miles north. And the scene opens in Mount Olive Lutheran Church. And there's a young man preaching about Zephaniah and a congregation listening to him. And no one in the audience seems all that forsaken or all that desperate or all that forlorn. At least not until the thought bubbles start popping up above their heads on the screen. And they say depressed, anxious, addicted, lost my job, don't know what I'm going to do with my kid, I don't know if she loves me anymore. Anxious, worried, depressed, stressed. And then all at the same time, every thought bubble has the same second line, and it seems like God doesn't care. And the voiceover comes once more, and it asks, when it seems like God doesn't care, but God says he does, which one is true? And instantly you are taken on the screen through an entire encyclopedia of all that you've learned in Sunday school and all the Bible stories you remember. And it starts with the children of Israel at the Red Sea, and they're trapped with Pharaoh's army in the sea, and God delivers them. Just like he said. And then you see the children of Israel marching around the walls of Jericho, and they're shouting at the wall, and it falls. The walls come tumbling down, just like God said. And you see Zephaniah in the city streets of Jerusalem, encouraging his people that they will come back and claim this land. And then you see those remnant of Jerusalem coming back to the land to rebuild the city, just like God said. And you see God send Jesus on Christmas night, just like he said. And you see him live a perfect life, just like he said, and die and rise, just like he said. And you see him ascend into heaven, just like he said. And he sends out his church to start spreading the gospel, just like he said. And God defends that church against every attack for 2,000 years, just like he says. And you see God bring you into his church through holy baptism, just like he said. And you see him keep every promise he's ever made to you and defend you from harm last year and this year. And you see him keep you safe this morning on your way to worship, just like he said. And the montage ends with a close-up of your eyes, just your eyes. And your heart beats, boom, boom. And the voiceover says, when it seems like God doesn't care, but God says he does, which one do you believe? Friends, if there's anything we can learn from all that God has shown us in his word, it's that our troubles in life do not come because God doesn't care enough. It's that we can trust our Lord to care for us. And so there are times in our lives when it seems like God doesn't care. And the thought bubbles that pop above your head may say, it seems like God doesn't care, so I can do whatever I want, he won't mind. But God cares enough about proud punks like us to say the same thing he said through Zephaniah. The day of the Lord is near, and I will search, and I will punish those who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. So sometimes the thought bubble above your head doesn't say that. It says the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad, so he must not care about me. And the Lord cares about sorry saps like you and me enough that he says to us what he said through Zephaniah, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Some translations say he is a mighty warrior. Your king is a warrior and he is with you. And someday that king will come and sweep every trouble out of your life. So the only thought you will ever have is the Lord is holy. Someday he will sweep away your trouble like he has swept away your punishment. But that's not today. On that day, he will look like this. This is what Revelation says he will look like. He will be riding a white horse, dressed in a robe that's been dipped in blood. He has a sword in his mouth that is able to crush nations. And he has a tattoo on his thigh that spans the whole thing, and it says, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And it's all there to show you that your God is mighty to save you from whatever is coming your way. But for today, the camera is focused on you and your thought bubble. And behind you, your warrior king is with you. And he is in control of whatever trouble is here. So it's not here to punish you. It's not here because God lost control of what was going on in your life. It's here to keep you close to him, to keep you relying on him until we see him face to face. So until we see our warrior king face to face, the words of Zephaniah are ringing in your ear, and they go, sing, Mount Olive. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. And on that day, they will say, do not fear, Christian. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And so the people of Mount Olive sing the song that their fathers taught them, and we will sing together. Have we tried? Amen. Please stand.